By the way, the only man, the only person in this place or anywhere has ever received a text is Steve. I told him when I typed it, I did it like this. And I said, enjoy it, brother. You'll never get another one. That's very true. I would like to say that the Lord has allowed my family and I to be at all of His. And Steve and Mary and the kids, his kids, have been like family to us. And somebody walked by, I think it was Kim Gottberg. We were sitting with our grandkids, and the grandkids looked like our kids did in the early conferences. And, you know, it's a real blessing to be able to stay with people that you love. And I hope that you get it in your heart to stick with the truth, because as far as I know, none of us preachers in here have ever changed. I get up in the morning, I believe the same thing, I go tonight, I believe the same thing, and I ain't got nothing to prove to you except try to read you the Word of God. And I'm grateful for the preachers in here, even Obed. All right, if you will, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture, so get ready. We're going to have Bible study tonight, okay? All right, 1 Timothy, if I had a title, it would be For This Cause. And there's a cause, a reason for things in the Bible, and I will look at them. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said in verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, and that's what we're going to center on, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. And we'll deal with the first in just a second. But the word cause there is like on account of. I mean, you think about the terminology. On account of He came into this world to save sinners, Paul got saved. And he was going to be a pattern. Now turn to 2 Timothy, and you're going to see it again, but it's a different way of saying it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, look with me at verse 7. For God had not given us, that would be Paul and Timothy. Paul's the writer, and it's written to Timothy. All you got to do is read verse 1 and 2. Paul's the writer to Timothy, verse 2. He said, For God had not given us, Paul and Timothy, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner. And of course, that tells you that Paul's in prison when he writes this letter. But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. And if you get somebody that doesn't believe death's abolished, they don't believe what Paul taught Timothy. God abolished death, because if you're crucified with Christ, buried and risen with Him anew, you have death abolished. And the one problem that people don't understand is that death is the fear of most everybody. And yet, he said he had not given us the spirit of fear. You think about death. Death is the one thing that people don't like to talk about. But a saved person, he's got flesh. Well, his flesh don't want to die. That's obvious. But the inward man, as in Romans chapter 8, groans within himself wanting to be released from this thing that he has called a vile body. But when he said he abolished death, it's because God is not going to send you into death if you're a believer. You will go in eternal life. You are in eternal life. And so the abolishment of death, you ever try to convince somebody they can't die? But folks, you can't in that sense. You cannot die if you have eternal life. All right, he says in verse 10 again, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that appearing is to the Apostle Paul, and he said, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So I would say that Paul's gospel is the most important thing that you could ever consider as far as death. Okay, now verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, that for the which cause is like an accusation because of what he was preaching. The accusation against him, the trouble that arose against him. You know, the Bible says there, one of the states, I'm not going to read it all, it said when the demon devils were cast out, they said, Jesus I know and Paul I know. Well, then I know that the devil is very clear on who Paul is. And he must hide his message. Because if he doesn't hide his message, folks, that's the light of the gospel. And you know what? It really bothers you when people start messing with the light of the gospel. Folks, there's only one power of God unto salvation to us in this room, and it's the gospel of Christ. He says so, and that's all there is. And folks, the day that I trusted the Lord, May the 17th, 1984, there were people mad at me. And they were mad at me because they thought that I was saved. Well, that's what you get for thinking. Folks, I got saved because I trusted the gospel of Christ. I believed it. I have known that Jesus Christ died for my sins most of my life. Never an argument with anybody about the fact that Jesus raised from the dead. Why, I believed in Christmas and Easter. Aren't they supposed to represent those things? Isn't Christmas supposed to represent the birth and then Easter the resurrection and His life and all of that? And then they talked about the Lamb of God and the blood. And I went to Vacation Bible School. I could put the popsicle sticks together and make little houses and stuff. I got orange knee-eye and cookies. That's why Vacation Bible School was good. But I didn't learn anything as far as the truth that there was a gospel in this Bible that absolutely, absolutely is the power of God unto salvation. And you know what? It kind of makes you mad how they messed with you. But we're not going to mess with you tonight. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Now let's start and let's go. We're going to go pretty fast. Galatians chapter 1 because I'm fixing to give it over to Brian and leave. No, I'm just kidding. The only time I ever left here was for Penn State, and that was history. I got to see him walk out in the middle of the field for the all student last time. All right, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul said in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I never, neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said that in me first. Now, he said he never got this gospel from anyone. So it brings up the mind of something that must have changed. And just a quick thought. There's a person in the Bible named John. And I'm not talking about John the Revelator. There's a person in the Bible named Emmanuel. Okay? There is a person in the Bible named Simon Bar-Jonah. Okay? And there's a person in the Bible named Saul. Okay? Those are not really familiar with us that way. Until we see the change. John's name, his last name is not the Baptist. Emmanuel is Jesus. Simon Bar-Jonah is Peter. And Saul is Paul. And there's reasonings behind those names versus the names given them. And I want to look at them real quick. For a cause. There's a cause of it. Now look with me in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I can quote the verse, about 8 verses of this, because it was the test signal that Brother Moore used to give me on the headphones. He would quote John 1:1 through about 6 or 7 when we were testing the mics every time. So in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God, same thing, beginning with God, all things were made by Him. I mean, I heard that and heard that and heard it, and finally I said, okay, I got it. And he did it all the time, and so it was like that. And people said, did you ever hear that tape? I said, yeah, I probably edited it. I did. Okay, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. Now, you got a lot of people that follow John the Baptist. We have a lot of John the Baptist churches in America. And John the Baptist had a specific ministry. Yes, he did. And we'll look at it in just a second. He was sent to bear witness of the light. All right. In John 13:20, the writer John wrote, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever I send, you receive me, you receive him that sent me. Whoever Jesus, and I didn't quote that exactly right, whosoever I send, you receive him, you receive me, and if you receive me, you receive him that sent me. Okay? So if I find in this Bible men that are sent for a specific reason, there's a cause for it. All right? In John, it said, verse 8, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Correct? Is that what it says? Okay? Now look at verse 29. The next day John, the one that was sent to bear witness, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I coming baptizing, am come baptizing with water. Why was John baptizing with water? Making who manifest to Israel? Jesus, absolutely. That's what the verse says. All right. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Folks, if you're going to follow somebody, you better find out what they're doing. Wouldn't that be a good idea? My brother-in-law's daddy drove me and my mother one time to Tuscaloosa down to see my brother-in-law, who used to be a grace preacher many, many years ago. And he was following a man, and he got so used to following that man that I guess he wasn't thinking about it, and the man took a dirt road, and we went with him. And we landed up on that dirt road, and I said, why are we going down this dirt road? And it hit him like, oh, my God, I just got to following that man. And you see, one of the problems is people are following men and not what the Scriptures say. I mean, I heard the preachers this morning, it was great messages. You don't follow the man, you follow the Word. You follow the man, and we're going to lie to you. It's a guarantee, let God be true and every man a liar. And we will lie. We lie about a lot of things. But we try not to lie. But if you follow a man, you can get disappointed. That's why the middle verse in the King James, it's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man, and the two middle words of the Lord. You better believe that is. Okay? Now, in Luke chapter 1, look with me in verse 76. In verse 76, and thou child, and this is about Zechariah prophesying and talking, and Zechariah's the father of John the Baptist, or John. I don't mean to say John the Baptist. Till we can read it. How's that? And he said, thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before his face, before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. All right, turn to Luke chapter 1, since you're there, back up to verse 57. And look with me in verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard now that the Lord had showed great mercy unto her, upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they called him what? So,
If I'd have wrote Zechariah up here, you would have known what I was talking about.
You'd have thought about his father. Okay? What did the people want to call him? They wanted to call him Zechariah. But God's got something else in mind. He done told Zechariah the daddy what he's going to call him. Okay? But now look in verse 60. And his mother answered and said, "No, not so. But he shall be called what? John." So we know that his name will be John. Okay? Look with me then in Matthew chapter 1. Now, what is this John going to do? Well, the prophecy said that the Holy Ghost would be in him in the womb. And bless your soul, Mary, the carrier of Jesus Christ, our Lord, came in the presence of Elizabeth. She was 6 months pregnant. And the baby leapt in the womb of Elizabeth in the presence of Mary because what was in Mary? That Holy One. So this child has always been in some association with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. In Matthew chapter 3, look with me in verse 1. In those days came John what? Now we got a name. We got a nickname. We got whatever you want to call. But he is John the Baptist. Now why is he called the Baptist? Gee, that's hard, ain't it? Okay? So, let's say a Baptist. I'm not knocking anybody. I was a Baptist for years. A Baptist, why is he called a Baptist? Because he's associated with water. Right? Well, then if he's associated with water, he must do what association with water says to do. Isn't that fair? Okay, let's just read on. So John the Baptist. Now what did John the Baptist preach? Let's see. Verse 2. And saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So now I've got the message of John the Baptist. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Alright. Now who is he baptizing? Why was he baptizing? Did you forget? Making manifest who to Israel? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus manifest to Israel. Alright? Then why was the kingdom of heaven at hand? The king's there. Okay? And the verse said remission and salvation to Israel. Okay? So what would I think about John the Baptist? What are they following? They believe that the kingdom's at hand. Isn't that what part of it says? Did you die? Come on, folks. If that's what they say, they're following John, there's no greater person on or whatever. If they're following John the Baptist and they're calling themselves John the Baptist Baptist Church, then aren't they believing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? How could the kingdom be at hand if the king ain't here? The king left, folks. And the very people that should have wanted the kingdom to be there and should have repented of their idolatry killed him. Okay. Luke 2. Now, I apologize. I want one other passage. Get me Matthew chapter 1 since you were there. Hold on to Matthew 1 and also get with Luke 2. Now, let's look at Emmanuel. Okay? Matthew 1. And you're going to be hard put to see Jesus' name in the Old Testament, but you're going to see Emmanuel and about the virgin birth and whatever. But look with me in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So, most likely in the next few verses, we're going to talk about what? The birth of Jesus Christ. Okay? Look with me in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, this is Joseph. And Joseph's got a serious dilemma. He's got a woman that he loves that he is not married to, a spouse to, that has come up in a child way. And in Israel, that's dangerous. It's going to be a death. It's going to be a stoning. And he wants to put her away privately because he loves her. And God, in his mercy, for God has done this, folks. The Holy Ghost has come on Mary. She has a child in her conception. And I guarantee you this one thing. You can just put this in the bank. Mary didn't get up one morning and say, "Oh my goodness, I can't hardly wait till the Holy Ghost comes upon me." Brother was talking about being called to preach. I didn't get up one morning and say, "Lord, I just can't wait till you call me to preach." As a matter of fact, I was out in the studio many, many years ago in Brother Moore's studio, and I had broke down and was crying. And I got to say this. I never understood why anybody would want me to stand up here. And there's a lot of haughty people right now that got to understand one thing. Can anybody in here tell me Paul's last name? You know why? There was no emphasis on his last name. Because he said he was chief of sinners. And he thanked God because he said, "I didn't deserve this. I was a blasphemer, injurious, and persecutor. And God called me by his grace." And I remember a long time ago, Brother Steve asked me to preach. And I was as dumb as a hickory stick. And that was probably the worst message that was ever preached in this church. It had to be. And I couldn't understand why people would always ask me to teach and preach. You know why? Because I guess God wanted them to. I never asked, they asked. People would ask, why did they ask? That's up to God. I don't know. I mean, Mark, he goes to Baton Rouge. I'm sure he was only there. Why me, Lord? I'm at Selma. And Steve said, "You want to go where?" I called Steve up and I said, "Steve, I believe I really want to go to Selma." He said, "Are you nuts?" No. I've been there 20 years. I love them. I got people here from Selma. I love them. I wouldn't move anywhere else unless the Lord wanted me to. I hope he lets me die there or gets me caught up alive out of there. It'd be fine with me. But now, Mary didn't get up one morning and say, "This is going to be a great day. The Holy Ghost is going to come on me and I'm going to have a baby." She probably got up and said, "Oh, I got to do laundry. I got to do something, you know." Well, verse 21, she shall bring forth a child and they shall call his name what? So he's not Emmanuel as they know him. Emmanuel is God with us, but what's his name? Jesus. What do you know him by? Say it again. Lord Jesus Christ. Correct? Go to Matthew 28. We might as well preach the Great Commission tonight. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, verse 16. The eleven disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost." How many of you have been dipped three times? How many? You ever been dipped three times? Yeah, you got in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. By then you're blue. Well, let's just see if we could figure something out about this. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 42. The book of Acts, Luke wrote in Acts 4:12, "There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved." Well, then it would be a good idea to baptize in that name, I would say. All right, Isaiah 42, look with me at verse 8. "I am the Lord, that is my name." Okay? What is the name of the Lord of the Old Testament? Lord. Who is He? Well, He's God, obviously. Yea? What if God's name is Lord? What's the name of the Son? Jesus. What's the name of the Christ? Holy Ghost. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it is. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And yet they'll dip you and snuff you out and bring you back to life and dip you again and snuff you out and dip you again and snuff you out and whatever else. And folks, that is not what He said. I've asked Him, do you forward or backwards? I mean, there's got to be rules, ain't there? Do you know how to do it? I mean, it's like dates in the Bible. What's the first month, 10th day in the Bible? They would take the lamb and observe it for how many days? What's the first month, 14th day? Passover. What's the seventh month, 10th day? Day of Atonement. Do you know that God knows dates? How come I don't know when to worship Jesus and His birth? How come I don't know how to baptize? How come I don't know how to do the Lord's Supper? I've got an instructor in the Bible that didn't tell me about none of that. You see, I find in the Bible that when we get to this guy, Simon Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, his name is changed to Peter. Turn to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, folks, I believe that God gives instructions. The brother this morning is talking about, if you don't have instructions, you just make up your own rules, can't you? Brother Lockhart told me that 3 plus 3 is 71. I said, Jerry, if you're convinced, go with God. Well, folks, we're living in a world where you can just say anything you want. You can just preach anything you want. You can get up and do anything you want. You can fall down with the Holy Ghost. You can jump up with the Holy Ghost. You can do whatever, and it's supposed to be right. It ain't right. Folks, there's rules and regulations in God's Holy Word. But the problem is, and I use this all the time, if I was tuning up a Chevrolet, I don't go to the Ford section of my Chilton Auto Manual. Because their valves ain't the same. Their timing ain't the same. Try doing it and you'll see what you get. You get something broke. Well then, in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord asked Peter and them, He said, whom do you say that I am? And some say, well, thou art John the Baptist. Verse 14, some Elias. And I always thought that was curious because John the Baptist had been with them. It's kind of a strange response. So I guess here's John the Baptist and here's John the Baptist. He's a double guy, man. Some say that thou art John the Baptist. No, John the Baptist got his head taken off. Okay? So said Elias, other Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh my gosh, this is Matthew 16. And you know what? It hasn't been revealed till there by the Holy Ghost, by the Father. And then verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And Peter's going, that's right, I am. But I'm called Simon Bar-Jonah. But who did he say he was? Who did he say he was? Peter. And you know, the Lord and John said, you're going to be called Cephas. And the only person I know who called him Cephas is Paul. And he referred to him in several verses as different accounts of what was happening, and there were people following Cephas, and he said he was seen of Cephas, and on in 1 Corinthians 15 he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and then last of all he was seen of me. Okay, But now look with me in verse 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, verse 20 is very curious. It says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. What kind of evangelism is that? Is that in red letters? Did he charge them? Did he tell them? I mean, I don't know if it's red letters, but I mean, did he say it? Did he charge them that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ? Okay. I didn't know. I thought maybe I read it wrong. Okay. Now, look with me in Acts 13. So we got guys getting names changed. They're having something changing in their life. Alright, in Acts 13. Verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius, Cyrene, Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. Did you know he said them? And if you want to make a good study, you find out what it cost you to leave Paul. They did separate, you know, over a little argument. And it was about an argument that Paul didn't want to do this and bring that man here, and Barnabas did, and so it left off. And that's the last you see of Barnabas. I don't know what God did with Barnabas. He probably worked with him somewhere else. I don't know. But the work he called, he used T-H-E-M. Did it not? It was Paul and Barnabas. And you see them up to Acts 15 or Acts 14 or whatever. So they're together, and bless your soul, they're called for this work. Okay? And the work has a name change in 9. Who's Saul? Did you die in here? I know you're crucified, but you talk. Hey, who is he in verse 9? And who do we always call him by? I mean, you don't go around, I'm a follower of Saul. Probably wouldn't make any difference in the world we live in. There wouldn't be no difference between Saul or Paul. But, I mean, you don't go around and say, I'm a follower of Saul. Be a follower of me, I Saul. He's Paul, okay? The name changed. You know, the word Paul, referring to little one. And that's amazing, little one. He said, I'm chief of sinners. You know, if you look in Paul's life as Saul of Tarsus, what didn't he believe? He believed in the law. He said, touching righteousness and the law of blindness. What didn't he believe that cost him so dearly at first? Folks, don't you think there's emotion in this man? Do you realize what he knew he did to some believers? Haven't you ever looked back in your life and saw what you have done in your life and are ashamed of it? Paul said, I'm a persecutor in Israel, he said. And he gave an account to the Lord in Acts and said, I persecuted him. I did these things to these people. But I thank you, Lord, that by the grace of you, I did it ignorantly and unbelief. I have a friend in Mount Ida, Arkansas, a Bible class. That was a Baptist preacher for about 25 years. That saw the truth one night in Mount Ida with Freddie and then with me. And he said, you know what? I'm lost. And I looked at him and I said, really? And he said, Brother Jerry, what do I do with all the people I converted? And I said, nothing. You didn't do nothing with them in the first place. I said, you did it ignorantly and unbelief. You know, the book of Romans is dealing with ignorant people. The book of Galatians is dealing with fools. Ain't it? The Romans had gotten circumcised before Paul knew them. And he was trying to show them the law's gone. I'm telling you right now.
But now the righteous God without the law. He's trying to explain to them. He's trying to preach the gospel to them. And on and on and on. But the Galatians, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Have you not begun in the Spirit? Are you now made more perfect by the flesh?" You see, the difference, God gives us books how to handle people. Hey, you deal with most people, you're dealing in pure ignorance, folks. They do not know. They have not got a clue of what they believe. And as you deal with them in that, what is that, chapter 13 of Corinthians? What was that? I know it's love. No, it's charity, folks. Have charity towards them. Somebody had charity to you. Brother Lockhart had great help to me one time in a park going to God only knows somewhere in Texas. Was we going to Texas or Louisiana? That's right, we were going to Louisiana. And I'd just gotten saved. I just trusted the Lord, and I had people attacking me right and left. And they were angry at me, and I said, "Brother Jay, what's going on?" And he said, "I guess they're just mad at you, or angry or something." And I said, "You know, it was a great day in my life, May the 17th, 1984. But the greater day was my wife. If my wife hadn't entrusted the Lord, do you realize what kind of misery I'd have been in? It would have been awful. And when the night I trusted the Lord, I started hounding her. She called her mama and she said, 'He's went nuts.'" Said, I just can't. I'm going to stay a Baptist." And 2 weeks later in Baton Rouge, she got saved. And I remember how mad Richard Deegan was. That was a great conference. What was it, 21 people, something like that, trusted the Lord. Folks, you don't see that anymore, don't seem like. All you see is one at a time. But then again, the Lord talked about 99, you go after that one sheep over. That's not the big deal. And folks, if you're a preacher out here and you're counting numbers, you're going to quit. Many a class you go and there'll be one there and you go, "Lord, thou hast deceived me." No, yeah. You go and you drive 4 or 5 hours, sometimes 9 hours. I got one class I drive, it's about 15, 16, 17 hours. They get up there and they've got to wash their cat. They can't come to class. Well, if they do, I tell them put them in the microwave, they'll dry real quick. I mean, you know, I just, you know, all kinds of excuses. And I guess I got on some people the other day, and I, if you're in here and you're mad at me, I apologize. And all the starving pygmies in South America. I said, "You know what? You will do whatever you want to do. And if you give me the excuse for money, I'll give you some to get there. Because Brother Steve's going to take care of you when you get here." It's true. You get your room, you get food, you get, I mean, they'll never do you anything but ride here. And some of them showed up, so maybe I had a guilt trip on them, I don't know. But folks, it's true. Don't you do whatever you want to do? Okay, then why would you leave here doubting you're saved? Are you afraid that somebody make fun of you? That won't hurt you. It won't hurt just in a second. It's real minor in the scheme of eternity. I mean, I would rather be embarrassed here than stand before the Lord at the great white throne and Him not know me. And I thought about this man here. If there was anybody that should have said, Paul... But instead, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Have you ever asked the Lord that, or are you afraid to? Are you afraid to ask that? I didn't hear anything. Are you afraid to ask Him, "Lord, what would you have me do? Would you have me go to that person I don't like? Would you have me deliver a message to the people I don't really like? Lord, would you have me give to that person I don't really like?" I mean, Obed started that mess out, didn't he? Folks, grace preachers live on fried rabbit tracks of fresh air, according to Brian Sipes. Are you afraid to ask the Lord and He might show you? And then what would you do? You know, Paul's resume was Acts 20. You can go, I'm not going to read it. You can go to Acts 20 and read it. You know, it was told him he was bound by the Spirit as he went everywhere. He knew what he was going to get. He just didn't know how he was going to get it. I mean, it wasn't going to be, he walked into a town and it was like, oh my God. You see, this word Saul is ask. A-S-K-E-D, asked. Paul's little one. When this man walked into Jerusalem, he'd go into the synagogues, he could go to the temple, he could shake hands with the Pharisees, he was buddy-buddy with the upper echelon, buddy. I mean, he was welcome. But when he became Paul, they were letting him over the wall, they were throwing things at him, and bless your soul, Acts 13, look with me. This is what he preached. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you what? What man? The man Jesus Christ, as we know Him to be Lord Jesus Christ. By this man is preached unto you what? The forgiveness of sins, not remission. And by Him, and here's the kicker today in the preaching, you know, if you don't quit doing that, or if you do that, that's unpardonable. Well, folks, the only way I could look at unpardonable would probably go back in the law of Moses. And what did he say? What did he bring up to these Jews? What did he say in verse 39? How many things? Oh my gosh. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh my gosh, I guess you could kill your grandma. It's unbelievable. I've had that statement to me about 20 times. And I look at him, I say, where did you get to? Do you go to school to learn that if I'm saved by grace, I can kill my grandma? I've heard that, and you know, the first time I heard it, well, this is a fluke. And then I heard it again, and I heard it again. And, oh, you're one of them grace believers. You believe you can just live any way you want or kill your grandma. I want to kill my grandma lost. Oh, by God, thank you, Lord, I'm saved. I'm headed for grandma. I don't want to kill my grandma, but she's dead anyway, but I love my grandma. Grace, you know, them grace believers, they're in liberty. Well, of course we are, liberty from the law. You got to read 2 Corinthians 3, it's what it tells you. I'm liberty from what that law is going to bring on you. And yet it's taught and put on people because the light of the glorious gospel. Now remember, God said through the book of John, He said, whosoever I send, you receive him, you receive me. Turn to Acts 26 and watch. Acts 26, verse 16. An account of Paul on the road, and then a further account in the temple. And he just adds them up. Now watch in verse 16. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, semicolon, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now, probably go back and read Acts 22, you might find out something there. I what? Why would you send this blasphemer to the Gentiles? Well, he's a pattern. They build Altel Arima in Little Rock, and right when they thought they had it done, they realized that the building was off. It was off set. And they went ahead and opened it and hoped nothing fell in. Think of that. I saw a commercial where they had built the pyramids and they said they weren't reading the pattern right. And the Egyptian's looking at square buildings and he's looking at... And he's going, uh-oh. Well, I was taught the pattern was Peter. And to follow the red words of Christ. When I was 16, my
My sister gave me a Bible. I opened it up and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Folks, you can read the Bible if you got a first, second grade education. You can read the Bible. And I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I looked at it and I said, you know, I don't believe this. I don't believe anybody's living up to it. The minister of music had run off with one of the deacon's wives. And the preacher, I used to see him go into the music store and buy Playboys, but they would put it in a brown paper bag and he'd walk out with it. And yet, they would preach hellfire and brimstone. I would see people that go to church, and then on Monday, they had the worst business dealings I ever saw in my life. And I said, you know what? I can do that drunk. So I lived my life the way I wanted to until I was 27 years old. And at 27 years old, things began to bother me. And I might be talking to somebody here who's bothered. Let it bother you. I hope you hurt. And I thought that maybe if I got into a ministry, that would help. And eventually in 1980, I went to work with Brother Moore. Now, you can't work with Brother Moore lost, can you? I did. Did I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day? Yes, I did. But you know what? I wasn't satisfied that was enough. And I'd bargained with God. I said, you know, Lord, I know there's some things in my life I'll quit doing them, and I'll try to live for you. And he never said nothing. He never confirmed nothing. And the scriptures didn't come until one night. One night, I drove a load of preachers to Fairhope, Alabama. Brother Moore preached a message on how shall I pardon thee. And folks, you know, if you think about pardon, it's a release. It's letting somebody out of what they should be getting. And he went over and he preached a message. And folks, if you ain't got some place like this and something in your mind, think about it in your life. I know exactly where I was sitting. I know exactly what I heard that night. And then I got in a van and drove them preachers home. And I don't remember any of the road. I'm not laughing, folks. I didn't remember the road I drove. And across from the rest area on I-10, I began to bargain with the Lord again. And I said, Lord, maybe I wasn't in the right frame of mood when I said it. And I said it to Him again. No peace. And it hit me like a rock. Why don't you quit trying to get saved? Salvation belongs to me. And I trusted Him. We got home. I got out of the van. I said, Brother Moore, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, brother. And we went over behind the house. I said, Lord, the Lord just saved me. And he said, praise God, let's pray. We got down on our knees and talked to the Lord. I got up and I said, you know, I think I'll try to get to my car without telling anybody. Because I've been working for 2 years. I never got halfway to the car and it just came out of me. Praise God, I'm saved by the grace of God. One man left mad. Mad as fire. Another one shook my hand. And I went home, and that's when I began to deal with Kathy. And God in His mercy saved her. Just like He'll do you. If you just believe Him. Jesus Christ, according to Paul's gospel, died for our sins, according to Scripture. He was buried and He rose again the third day, according to Scripture. And God said, that's enough. Because when He in hell suffered for us, when He raised Him, He forgave us and justified us. And if you want it, it's yours. And then God, in spite of you, will seal you. Because there would be a day when He'd bring you out. And if God didn't seal us, my daughter said, you know, if God didn't seal us, He looked down there, He wouldn't know who's who. Because we all be doing something wrong. That's true. God
saved you in Christ if you want it. Do you want it? I hope you do.
Pastor Steve.